My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
First off, I mean, Josh does a tremendous job of being ready. He's a consummate pro twice. Been in the NFL for so long. I mean, he gets what we want to do. He has a great feel for where we are and where we need to get to. I think he's a great sounding board for Lamar and for us.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobs. They're here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw. McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We're getting you some news from the Nest. You just heard from Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken there talking about their backup, Josh Johnson. A lot of people have some opinions about the Ravens backup quarterback situation. We had Gianna Hahn on earlier from the Banner. She's not necessarily sold on Josh Johnson. Neither am I, to be honest with you. I don't know anybody that is. Yeah. I mean, but we all go back to they have to cut corners financially somewhere where you're paying your franchise quarterback, but they're paying Lamar. I still feel like there are upgrades out there, but Josh has fans in the building, and they're at the top.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt about it. And, I mean, who's the Chiefs backup?
That's a good question. I know who it is. I'm drawing a blank right now. He got in the game last year. I know exactly who it is. His name is just not coming to mind for me. But I know who their backup is. Right. Not that he's great, to your point. He's not great either.
Well, they did sign Wentz.
They signed. Oh, they signed. Okay, yeah. Well, I didn't know Wentz was a backup. That's new.
But, I mean, Wentz, what has he done lately?
I mean, nothing.
Josh Johnson, I think he fits what they are looking for, what role. They think he's better than Tyler Huntley. And probably better for Lamar for him, you know. He's knowledgeable. He's 37 years old. And to be totally honest, whenever Lamar's been down, they've kind of, they're not going to be great anyhow unless they got a quarterback. Because having a young guy, you know, I mean, if Leary's the backup, forget about it. I mean, if Lamar were to get hurt, he can't. Whereas Josh Johnson can run the offense. He's capable of doing those types of things. So,
I will say there.
I would like an upgrade, but it is what it is.
I think their offense, the way that is set up personnel wise now, is probably as best it's ever been to be suited to take on a Lamar injury. They would still feel it. Don't get me wrong.
The only question I have is the O line.
I mean, yeah, but I'm saying weapons wise, you have as many weapons as you've had throughout the Lamar era. I think they're better suited now than ever before. It would still be bad if Lamar's not there, no doubt about it. Let's hear more from Todd Monken. Here he is talking, saying that he wants the offense to be a nightmare to defend.
Certainly, you want to have an offense that's a nightmare to defend. I mean, I think that's what we're all trying to accomplish, right? An offense that you're capable of winning in a variety of ways. If you need to run it to win, you can run it to win. If you need to throw it to win, you can throw it to win. That's all we're fighting for, to be elite in all of those areas. And then the last part of it is, are you elite in situational football? Short yardage, red zone, are you not turning it over, you're explosive, 4 minute, all those things that really, really dictate a game.
All right, I'm good friends with Monken, but I mean, what he just said, what did he really say? I mean, he said, well, whatever, he wants to be great in everything. Yeah. You know, I mean, I kind of just laugh at it, you know, because I know Todd, you know, he didn't give anybody anything. We want to be great at running it. We want to be great at throwing it. We want to be great at every situational situation. So, what did he didn't say anything. Norm, did he say? He said nothing.
It's a typical Monken, if you ask me. I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying he's following what most coaches do.
Right.
They're up there. It's an obligation to speak to the media.
It's a win for him in that cut. He didn't give anything. He didn't say anything wrong. He just said some words and went on to the next question.
And to be honest, I mean,
it was a win.
This time of year, I mean, it's the same stuff every time. I mean, it's a work in progress, the offense. All the games they're playing, you got maybe three or four starters out there. So a lot of these guys we're talking about, they're not going to be factors throughout the regular season.
Well, let me just ask you guys this. Of any coach, including Harbs, that we've heard throughout training camp, other than getting injury information, you really got anything?
I mean, no. Everybody's grasping at straws. You're trying to latch on to maybe something that may have happened in the practice or something.
Right.
The real questions that...
Or what does he really mean by what he's saying?
The questions that people really want, they're not going to give you much on it. I mean, that I did flat out ask him, Todd Monken, the last time we spoke to him about the idea of the lack of chemistry between Lamar and Bateman when Bateman's not on the field. I mean, every now and then we can get a question like that in of some sort of depth. But right now, when there's no real players playing, there's no real games happening, short of something unfortunate happening in practice, it's like you said, it's not a lot to really talk to them about.
Here's the problem with the Ravens is there's no drama. You know, the Jets got drama, the Cowboys got drama, the Niners got drama. We have no drama here.
Well, the Ravens had their drama seasons. They've had them, no doubt. You know,
this is the downtime. Right. We've had no major injuries.
Nope.
Knock on wood. And we've had nobody get arrested. We've had none of those kind of things. We've got no contract problems.
Life is good for them right now.
Yeah, so I mean, Harbs is living good right now.
Let's hear one more here from offensive coordinator Todd Monken talking about Roger Rosengarten.
Well, he's only getting better. You know, like any young player, there's some ups and downs, but it isn't for a lack of effort, intelligence, want to, toughness, athleticism. I think he's going to be a really good player.
I mean, yeah.
I read through that, Cornell, reading all that, he's not ready yet. That's what I read through that. Because if you kind of hear he's going to be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to work. That's how, you know, Todd's being nice, but what I read through all that is he's not there yet.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think he's wrong in saying, I think a lot of people probably feel the same way. The question is, are you going and throwing him out there and doing trial by fire, or are you going with Mekari until you do feel like Rosengarten's ready?
Norm, can you play Monken's cut again and just listen to what he's praising him, but.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's only getting better. You know, like any young player, there's some ups and downs, but it isn't for a lack of effort, intelligence, want to, toughness, athleticism. I think he's going to be a really good player.
He wants to be better.
Right. You know, I mean,
he's trying hard.
He's got the things you're looking for, but he's just not ready yet.
Yeah.
That's... Norm, you hear that?
That's you. I'll let you.
That's what I hear. And Cordell, what I could see maybe in the Kansas City game is the alternating tackles again.
That's what I've been saying. It really wouldn't shock me. I mean, they haven't come out and said it, and they're not going to. But I would not be surprised at all if that's what we see, especially on the right side of the line. Let's grab a call before we go to break. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, what's going on?
Trippy!
Hey, what's going on with y'all?
Now, why you say that you can't get in?
Nothing, man. It was just bad communication yesterday, man. You know, I thought I can call in whenever, you know what I mean? I thought I had that VIP access, but it's all good. But I'm right here to the training camp. I know this is second to last one, man. Hey, Vinny, I'm going to keep saying it, Vinny. I'm still kind of worried about the wide receivers, man.
The only, like, Gage is out. You know, I mean, he's hurt now.
Gage hurt?
Miller's doing some
Miller
decent
good
things.
Yesterday.
Yeah,
he made some plays down the
Miller,
field yesterday.
Miller may end up making the team just because I'm not crazy about any of those other guys. And Tez Walker's not ready yet.
Oh, you know what? Hey, Vinny, I'm glad you said that, right? Man, the front was talking about that. I think that's going to be like a red shirt year for him. I don't think he ready yet. I mean, we can stash him and get him up to par for next year. But I wish we would have got that boy Baker from UCF. He tough, but I want to say something, right? And this is a wide receiver. I mean, I hear y'all talking about him, but a lot of fans, they not big on him. Tylan Wallace. I think if they give him an opportunity, right, because, you know, I'm a big Ravens fan, but one thing I don't like about the Ravens, and I hope they hear this, I feel like we draft receivers and we never give them a chance. We can go back, way back. Like, you remember when we had Marlon Brown? Remember that year Marlon Brown had all them touchdowns? What happened to him the following year? You see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, I don't know what it is, though. Like, give that boy Sean Rogers an opportunity. At least, I mean, he's been healthy. You know what I mean? My man Keith Kirkwood. I'm big on them, too.
I just don't like that they can't
appreciate
run
the call,
very
Trippy.
Well. They just do nothing for me. I think with Tez Walker, he's not the same guy that was at the OTAs and the mini camps. And I think his ribs are bothering him because he doesn't like his speed. He's not showing what he showed back then when he was totally healthy. That's kind of what I see right now.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell. We'll check in on the stock market, see what the money is looking like, and then answer some questions in the world of sports. That's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Next year on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney. 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 1057 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Playing a little buy or sell. Let's check in on that stock market.
Yeah, let's check it out, Cordell. How about the Dow's over 40,000? You know, like last week was like at 38-something. It's up 243 today. The S&P's up 17. The Nasdaq's up 3. And DraftKings up $1.22, 32.66. Under Armour's the only red on the phone. Down 16 cents, 7.66.
All right, we'll start here with the Yankees. Their fan base actually been clamoring for the return of their top prospect, Jason Dominguez. Been an up-and-down year for him. A rare case of a position player needing Tommy John surgery. That delayed the start of a season. Then once he did finally make it back to AAA, there were some oblique issues. So it's been really hard for him to get in a rhythm. But his AAA numbers, not off the charts, but they are solid. And the fan base, they want him up here because I think some people are kind of sick of Alex Verdugo in left field. They want to round out the star-studded outfield they have there, bring up the young guy. Well, GM Brian Cashman said there's no real lane for him to reach the majors right now, but they do understand that he's, to be honest, he's ready and waiting. Buy or sell, Cordell, Dominguez will be a September call-up when the rosters expand.
I'll buy that. At that time, that's when you start giving those types of players a look. Maybe they don't feel comfortable enough with him being on the postseason roster or really being able to help them win this division right now. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to assume that he has mastered the AAA level at some point, you want to get a look at him at this level, and that's the perfect time to do it.
We'll move over to the NFL. The Dolphins had a lot of firepower in their running back room last year. Raheem Mostert, a career year for him. 21 total touchdowns, over 1,000 yards rushing. But don't forget about Devon Achane as well. Mm-hmm. Made an impact in a limited role. 800 yards in 11 games. An incredible 7.8 yards per carry pace that unfortunately didn't have a chance to ride out the full year because of injuries. How will things shake out this year, though? I think it's safe to say Mostert will have that preference out the gate, but buy or sell, Vinny, Achane will end up leading the Dolphins in rushing yards this year.
I'll buy that. I think he's younger, got more explosiveness and stuff, and it's an explosive offense. So I will definitely buy that.
We mentioned this yesterday about Martavis Bryant finding his way back to the NFL. Looking to formally re-enter the league after that lengthy suspension derailed his career. Last year, when he was reinstated, he latched on with the Cowboys practice squad, but was never elevated for a regular season game. Now, he's going to finish out camp with the Commanders. Had multiple workouts with him, so I guess they like him to some degree, but it remains to be seen if he'll be a practice squad guy for them or not. I think it's safe to say he won't be making the final 53. Buy or sell, Cordell, whether it's the Commanders or elsewhere, Bryant will finally play in a regular season game this year.
I'll sell it. I think that time is come and gone. It's tough to, take a substantial amount
six
of
years.
Time away
yeah,
from the
years.
From the game and then come back and be good enough to not only make a roster, but actually get on the field. Yeah, I really, it's tough for me to see a scenario where that happens.
More in the NFL here. Tons of coaching changes. They happen every single year. Some landing in better situations than others. But one constant, at least in recent history, six straight seasons now, at least one division winner has had a new head coach at the helm. Now, it doesn't have to be a first-time head coach, but first time with that respective team. Last year, D'Amico Ryans in Houston was your first-year division winner. Others in recent history, Matt LaFleur in 2019, Kevin O'Connell in 2022. Among this year's group of eight coaches that could be considered first-year or with a new team for the first time, Raheem Morris, Mike McDonald, Jim Harbaugh, Brian Callahan, Vinny Byersell, the streak continues with a new coach delivering immediate results.
I'll buy it because I think Raheem Morris has got a good chance in Atlanta. You know, they got Cousins. They got some good weapons offensively and stuff. So, yeah, I'll buy it. And I think Seattle's going to be better than people think, too.
And we'll close things out here in Major League Baseball. Paul Skeens, we know he's getting all the recognition as the top rookie in the National League. And the betting odds, they certainly reflect that right now if you're looking to put some money down on Rookie of the Year. But don't forget about Jackson Merrill. Media personality Ben Verlander recently made the case for Merrill to be Rookie of the Year over Paul Skeens and cited a few different things. For one, Merrill has been on a great pace the entire season, and he's not just along for the ride in San Diego's climb up the standings. He also looks at Paul Skeens and his potential finish of the year, questioning the innings limit on him and whether or not he'll be shut down at some point. Cordell, are you buying or selling that take that Merrill will actually have better results in the Rookie of the Year voting?
I'll sell it. I mean, as good as Jackson Merrill has been, public perception is going to carry the load here. The pot is going to be a popularity contest, and Paul Skeens is just the guy that most people know about. Jackson Merrill is having a really good year for the Padres, and I do agree he hasn't just been hog-tied in the trunk on the ride, but Paul Skeens has been kind of like a phenomenon on a year for a lost year for a lot of pitchers. He's been one of the great stories for the pitching position this year in Major League Baseball. So I find it tough to believe he doesn't win it.
Started the All-Star game.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a big card that he has in his pocket. We got time for a call. What you think? Let's grab a call real quick. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Cordell, and how you doing, Vinny?
One
thing y'all was talking about earlier, when y'all talk about injuries, man, it makes me think about how we grew up, what we ate. They say you are what you eat. Fast food was a treat when I was a kid because we ate dinner, you know, home-cooked food. And today's society, everything is fast food. But my main reason I called, Cordell, when we was talking about money paid out to the people on the football team, quarterback is one. Once upon a time, first draft picks were defensive ends and running backs, and they were the big paid issues then. Now it's your quarterback. But where do they rank? Is it quarterback first, pass rusher second, and I would say offensive line, but now receivers are getting $20 million. So are the receivers before the linebackers now? So I'm going to hang up, and y'all try to give me what you think the picking order of pay from top to bottom is, the first six top payrolls. And I think it flip-flops from offense, defense. Let me know what y'all think about that. Have a great day, fellas.
Well, quarterbacks is one, and then wide receivers is two. And then you go to
probably
O-tackle and pass rushers are about the same.
Mm-hmm. And after that, you fall into the tight ends, linebackers, running backs had a good offseason this year.
Roquan's the highest at $20 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think the highest tackles, like offensive tackles, well, like
tackles
28.
Tackles are getting paid. And the crazy, they're young. It's a lot of young, really good tackles in the league that are making money these days.
I think Bosa's 30 or a little bit over 30. So maybe pass rushers are making a little bit more than O-tackles right now. But that's kind of the guys. I mean, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive tackle, pass rusher. Those four.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll talk some Orioles. Orioles, they fall to the Nationals last night in the first of two games against the Nats. They're back at it tonight at Camden Yards. Brandon Hyde said it himself after the loss last night. They're an inconsistent baseball team right now. Will the O's get back to being a consistent team? We'll look at it next here on The Fan. We're going to talk some Orioles in a second, but the Ravens, I just saw that they have put out a statement while we were going to break. Looks like Ravens tight end Mark Andrews was in a car accident earlier this morning on his way to the facilities. The Ravens say that he did not sustain any apparent injuries. He was able to join the team later on in the morning for some of the meetings. They say that Mark was originally scheduled for a non-practice day today and is expected to return to the practice field in the coming days. They have a statement here from Mark Andrews saying, "I appreciate everyone's thoughts and well wishes. This is a great reminder about the importance of wearing seatbelts and remaining alert while driving a car." So looks like they really dodged a bullet, Mark especially. I mean, just forget football, just his own personal life being able to be okay following that accident. But we won't see him, I guess, for the next couple of days. I mean, they have one more practice before the game, which is, well, two more practices, I should say, today and tomorrow. And then they won't be back on the field until Monday.
Right. So we won't see him till Monday.
Yeah.
So he get a little break. And we're glad that Mark is okay from the car accident. Sounds like, you know, I don't know, fender bender or whatever it was, but he was able to drive to the facility, mm-hmm. it sounds like, to see the trainers and stuff there. So, and then he ended up in their meetings and stuff later on. But, I mean, with an accident, you got to stop, do all the police stuff and everything.
Yeah.
So that probably took some time. And hopefully, you know, the person he got an accident with, they're okay, too.
Yeah, hopefully everybody that's involved was okay. Definitely good news. I saw, you know, Mark was on the field yesterday, and it was weird. I saw him catch a drop a ball, which is very rare in itself. He had dropped the ball down the field from Lamar, and I didn't see Mark back on the field for the remainder of practice. I mean, I saw him out there. He's holding his helmet, but he's not participating. He's on the sideline, so I don't know if that was planned. Maybe he had a limited day with that. You know, having a limited day yesterday, and they're saying today was already scheduled for him to have a non-practice day. So maybe they're just kind of giving him some time off right now. But definitely good news to see that he's okay. We were originally planning to talk Orioles, and we can still do that. Orioles lose last night. Here's Brandon Hyde following that loss.
Yeah, we're really inconsistent. You know, we're giving up way too many runs. Tonight, I didn't think our bats were real good. You know, besides the 3-0 homer by Santander, we had another opportunity. Second throw went out, didn't score. We're not moving the line offensively enough.
Yeah, I mean, and the key word there is inconsistent.
No doubt.
And that's really what this team has been for almost 2 months now, you know, going on. Do you think they'll be able to find that consistency that they had in the first portion for most of the first half of the season?
Well, they've been consistent for about 6-7 weeks now, and I don't know if anybody will get consistent, Cordell, because the pitching,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't have, you know, before, you know, if they were lining up with Burns, Rodriguez, and, you know, Bradish, and, you know, the people that they had,
mm-hmm.
they can be a lot more consistent that way, because you kind of know you're going to get a good... I mean, when Burns goes out, your chances of winning are pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's the only one, you know, you've got.
Right.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah, right now. I mean, and Eflin's pitched good, but he hasn't, you know, it's still... Burns is the sure bet, the closest thing to a sure bet, I'll say, in this rotation. That right there is one of the main reasons why I don't think that we'll see them be consistent again. If anything, yep. they'll be consistently inconsistent.
Yep.
But the other part that's worrying me is that offensively, which is their calling card, inconsistent in that as well. It'd be one thing if it was just the pitching. If it was just the pitching and they're going out there and they're scoring 6-7 runs and they're still losing, it's like, all right, well, it's clear what the problem is, but they're struggling in all three phases of the game right now. The pitching, the hitting, and the defense has been inconsistent as well. That right there is why I feel like they're not going to be the consistent dominant team right. that we saw in the first half.
And the other thing too, Cordell, is runners in scoring position. They're terrible.
It's been a problem.
You know, and last year they were great defensively, great in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
and they won all those one run games. So I mean that's the big, and they were a consistent baseball team last year. Yeah. They never lost a series, right? I mean, because I remember Haney always talking about ever since Rutschman, they haven't lost a series.
Well, they hadn't been swept.
Yeah, hadn't been swept.
Yeah, they hadn't been swept. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, every team loses a series.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, they hadn't been swept. And they had that stint, like I said, of winning a lot of the first games of the series. And that in itself is what you need. Don't get swept. And you're taking the first game of the series more times than not, then you probably you feel good about it. But that hasn't been the case for them this year. And they're not a team that, you know, last year as well, they were one of the better comeback teams in all of baseball. This year, they're 19-35 when opponents score first. Damn. So odds are, if they get behind early, it's not going to finish well for them.
So would you guys say that last year's team is better than this year's team?
It's different. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if last year's team finishes better in the regular season. You know, obviously winning the division. Yeah, last year's team. I don't think this team is winning 100 games right now the way that they're going. And we may not see any team in baseball win 100 games this season, honestly. But and as bad as they are right now, again, I'm still holding out hope for the postseason. Anything could be better than what they did in the postseason last year. So I'll take them taking a step back in the regular season this year and somehow maybe getting hot on the back, maybe the last week or two of the season and going into the postseason and having a better outcome.
Right, and I've kind of gone back and forth here recently about, you know, winning the division or being a wild card team, because you remember last year they win the division, but then everyone was blaming the layoff there that you had to wait for.
Got to blame something.
Right, so whether you believe in that or not, some people would say, okay, you get a little momentum under you if you're the wild card team. And maybe the Orioles end up being the wild card team just because they're not good enough to close out this division. But I almost feel like if you win the division, I'll take those couple extra days to make sure Grayson Rodriguez is 100%. If Jordan Westberg is possibly in line to come back, make sure he's ready. Webb, anyone who's capable or a possibility to come back and pitch for this team in the playoffs, I'll take that extra time. And the way the team's constructed right now, or at least the way they're performing, they just need to get lucky. Mm-hmm. They need to be the team that gets hot at the right time. And I know you could say that about anybody, but they're not a juggernaut. Nobody's a juggernaut right now. The way that they're playing baseball, they're going to be inconsistent. They're probably, if they make the playoffs, there'll be a game or two here and there where they don't look good at all. But can they overcome that? Can they sustain that? Can they be a team that gets an unlikely hero that pops at the most unexpected time? I think that's the only way they're going to go on a run, because they're just simply not going to line up and dominate people.
And the other thing I think, too, Norm, is why having the bye would be good. You know, Burns gets red. Then you're not pitching him an extra game, you know.
Right, because, you know, we are thinking that this division race is going to come down to game 162. I don't know how the rotation's going to shake out every fifth day, but let's say hypothetically, to Vinny's point, if Burns is pitching that Sunday, game 162, where you're trying to win the division, and you're a wild card team, you lose, you're playing a game a couple days later. Mm-hmm. So he can't play that. So a lot of factors at play here down the stretch.
Yeah, they're going to do some crazy things with this rotation, I think, as this year comes to a close. And like you said, the rest, I think this year more than last year, would be more beneficial for them. Last year, they didn't have guys that they're waiting for to come back on the back end of the year. I mean, Batista and those guys got hurt, but we knew they weren't coming back. Now they have a couple of guys who we're looking at their return potentially being on the back end of September. They may need those couple of days just to not only get them back, but to maybe even give them the time to get as close to 100% as possible.
And I think, Cordell, we're going to learn a lot about the coaching staff, you know, because they're going to have to do a lot of maneuvering. They're going to have to do a lot of, you know, making moves and things. And we're going to find out, you know, because there's going to be a lot of close games, how they are.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll hear from defensive coordinator Zach Gore, a little bit from special teams coordinator Chris Horton as well. Both of those guys spoke to us after practice yesterday. We'll hear from them next here on The Fan. You just heard from Ravens defensive coordinator Zach Gore there. talking about David Ajabo, saying, you know, Ajabo just needs more reps. He needs to get and stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels like he'll continue to get better and better.
Well, I think so, too. But the biggest thing is yeah, he needs to get healthy and be healthy enough to be able to do the things that he is capable of doing, you know. And is he that far along in his recovery process with his knee that allows him to do those things? Because Cordell, they allowed him to practice, but they didn't allow him to play in a game.
Mm-hmm.
So is he going to play in the games now? Is he going to play in the game Saturday? I would still be a little leery. He's going to want to. And biggest thing is he there to protect himself until he gets hit? I don't know if he's been hit yet where, my knee's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the biggest things. And he needs some confidence because he gets tentative at times in traffic. That's what I've seen at, you know, this fall.
Let's hear more from Zach Orr. Trenton Simpson, a guy that everybody wanted to see this past Friday. We know it was his first time wearing the green dot. Here's Zach Orr talking about how Trent Simpson did wearing the green dot.
First and foremost, Trent did a great job with the green dot. I mean, it was his first time with it. He hasn't really actually done it in practice, so I was very, very pleased with how well he was able to get the call, communicate it to the defense. And then as far as that goes, my personality is going to show. Like, I'm me. So they got a couple long drives, and as they get going, I was like, come on, let's pick it up. Let's keep it going. Let's get these guys off the field. So it was good that he felt that energy and he relayed it to everybody else. But the balance is, obviously, first and foremost, I got to get him the call, but I'm gonna let my personality show as well.
And look, you know, I thought Simpson did pretty good himself out there. And mm-hmm. Zach Orr, you know, what was kind of glossed over a little bit is that was his first time calling plays in a game-like situation on Friday night.
Yep, no doubt about it. And that was, you know, it's good work for him. Gets a feel for it because it's different than practice and everything. And he's got two more cracks at it. But then when it starts with Kansas City, you know, because there's a lot of vanilla stuff going on right now. So it's, you know, you're calling plays, but what are you trying to really adjust? You're trying to evaluate is what you're trying to do. You know, so the Kansas City game, that's going to be, you know, you gotta be dialed in and ready to go because Andy Reid, he's going to throw some stuff out on you that you hadn't seen or hadn't done yet and everything, and then how we react into that. That's where, you know, Zach, after playing against Kansas City in the opener, then they've got those 10 days. I think Zach will learn a lot from that experience.
Let's hear one more from defensive coordinator Zach Orr. Here he is talking about what he expected Wiggins to do on Friday night.
That's what we expect, man. I mean, we've seen that his college tape, we've seen it out here throughout training camp. Now, I was a little surprised they went after him early so often, but one thing that you recognize real early in pregame that, like, when the lights came on, he was ready, and that's one thing you want to see. So his confidence was through the roof even before the game started. So it was great to see Nate go out there and make those plays. Those are plays that we expected him to make, but it's good when you see him go out there and do it. And I think that that's just real good for his confidence.
Nate Wiggins, like, you talk about him, confidence is always one of the first things you mention when you talk about Nate Wiggins.
No doubt. I mean, the first time OTAs, when I walked out on the field, I saw a confident, the first time I'd ever seen Wiggins live, but that was a confident guy. He had presence about him. You know, he wasn't a big, he was a skinny dude, but the way he carried, he knew he belonged, and he knows he's good.
Yesterday in practice, Justin Tucker hits, he takes the 68-yard field goal, and there was a lot of discrepancy about whether or not he made it. And video evidence came out later on yesterday afternoon that he did end up making it. One of the officials is waving it, no good.
Mm-hmm.
But being there, just seeing it live, I thought he made it. I thought he made it. And the video, it was very close. It looked close there. It looked like it barely went through. But I thought without a doubt he had made it. But yet one of the officials is saying no, the team is celebrating as if he made it. And
right.
I'm like, all first thing going through my mind is this about to end practice? I mean, it's almost a 70-yard field goal. When it gets to that range,
right.
And it's usually like, all right, practice is on the line right now. If he misses it, we're going to keep going. He makes it, we're going home. But they kept going for a little longer. But that was really impressive from Tucker.
A 68-yarder, you know, because it's, you know, you got a snapper holder, you got the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a game situation, and I think that's good. And Cordell, the reason why I think that's good is I don't know. Like last year, he was 1 of 5, 50 plus,
mm-hmm.
and his the one was 50. So he didn't get many attempts over 50 last year. And I thought maybe, all right, he's getting older. But this year, OTAs and everything, I thought he's kicked extremely, extremely well. And we'll see. Maybe, you know, he's making 68 yarders in practice and stuff. Maybe Harbs is going to give him more opportunities. But how do you get more opportunities over 50? Because Cordell, inside of 50, he's the best that's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the over to 50 part, how do you get more opportunities? You make them.
Right.
Because you got to get confidence, you know, from your coach to go for it. Because if you don't, that other team gets the ball in extremely good field position. So that's what Harbs has got to get back. And like I said, only 5 last year, the whole season. So, and he struggled over 50. So if all of a sudden we see that he's early on, Cordell, he's 3 for 3 over 50, something like that, he's going to get more opportunities. But if he's 0 for 3, John's going to think twice.
Mm-hmm.
He may punt that.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some NFL lunch, see what's going on around the NFL. A defensive player in the AFC North got an extension today. We'll tell you who it is next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!